life in me. Praise the Lord. That's what concerns me. And I just want to see God do a wonderful, wonderful work. I want to know more about my Lord. Praise the Lord. I forgot to announce this morning, the Tuesday night is our service, joint service at Chocowinity. Our joint service at the Chocowinity Church at 7:30. If you would remember that in prayer, we'll look forward to what God's going to do there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see you here this afternoon. Appreciate those that are here. And I know, like I said, we've got some folks out and some folks had to leave this afternoon. But we're glad that we're here. I am. I'm glad to be here. I don't know any place else I'd rather be than right here in the Lord's house. I want to do something a little different this afternoon. I don't know. Our church is different anyway. So when I announce something different, it's probably not different. And that's all right. But I want to take a little direction here, maybe. Instead, not so much preaching and teaching. But I want to have a little time of sharing. A few things that I want to share. And then I'd like to open it up and have some folks that are here today do some sharing. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. I want to do the work of the Lord. I'm not interested in being a part of a church that's not going anywhere. I'm not interested. I don't have a hold the fort mentality. There have been a lot of internal struggles in our church over the last year and a half, just the enemy fighting. Sometimes, you know, the Bible says give no place to the devil. You need to make sure wherever you're at that you don't ever let him in. Don't let him have a place in your life. If he gets a place in your life, he gets a place in the church. Just the way it is. If the enemy gets in your life, he gets in the church. Because you're in the church. And if he finds a way into you, if he finds a way to irritate you, if he finds a way to get a hold of your life, he finds a way to get a hold of the church. And we think sometimes, I don't matter. You do matter. You matter. Every member of this church matters. And so I'm concerned about that. And if there's doubt in various areas, then there'll be doubt in the church. And it will have an effect upon the body. But I say that to say that, you know, my heart has been so much to reach out. And God's given us a promise, vision, and in the sense that God wants us to reach out in this community. That's His Word. God's Word to us in the commission is to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't tell them to wait in the sense of sit around, I'll send them to you. He said, you go and you preach the gospel. There are times that God does send people our way. But there's times He sends us to people. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Now, I know He said that to the apostles. He also told the apostles to love one another, but we don't have problems taking that one for ourselves. You know, He also told them, for all the commands He gave to His disciples. Are we His disciples? Then they apply to us, all right? Yes, when He said go into all the world, He wasn't just telling one generation. He was telling every generation, this is your commission. Actually, there are people that believe that was only for the apostles. I had shared a little bit on an internet debate once with the man. I mean, that's what they thought. He said, this is not a command of the church today. That was a command of the church then. I'm like, hello, how did you get that? Well, this what can you discern? It was just for Paul and Peter, or for Peter, James, and John. It wasn't for us. I mean, we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. How can we expect to do less than what they did, or to not do what they did? They went out and they preached the gospel, and they used various avenues. And I'm not saying that we're always tied to the exact methods that they might have used, but we are tied to the same gospel and the same command to preach. So we have to be able to do that. I know our culture is different. I know our world's different, but a few things are not different. Church is the same. Principles of which it lives is the same. Jesus is the same. Sin is the same. It might have new labels. It might have new names, but it's still sin. It's still lawlessness. It's still not doing what you know is good. It's still a violation of faith. That's what sin is. And we understand that. But I'm concerned. I'll tell you, I'm just concerned. I want this church to be what Christ wants us to be. And I want to tell you that I believe wholeheartedly in this word that God wants this church to be on fire, soul winning church, Holy Ghost filled, His power working, gifts of the Spirit in operation, making an impact, being salt and light in our community. That's God's will for this church. That's God's will for this church. It is not His will for any church to be a backseat door in the community, not visible, just hold the fort, get together and have your little services 3 times a week or 2 times a week, whatever. And that's just good enough. And everybody come together and tell how bad everything is and never make a chance or an opportunity or never take the opportunity to witness to others. That's not God's will for the church. God's will for the church is that the church is salt and light. And that means we have to show this world what it is. So at my heart for some time, it's always been my heart as a minister. Sometimes I've been more successful than others at it. And sometimes I've been able to be at it more than others. But I will take the lack of consistency on the part of the leadership. We'll take that fault. That's okay. Because that's where it should lie. So with at least where it starts with the leadership is that we must inspire, we must preach, we must be the example for the church to reach out and to touch others. I feel many ways we have done that, but we can do more. And we've got to be able to reach our community. Jesus is coming, and He's coming for a working church. A waiting church is a working church. A waiting church is a working church. Question. The boss man is there. The boss man looks at you and he says, I got this job I want you to do. I got to leave. I'll be back in a little while. I want you to work on this job. Question. Now, you're in a state of waiting for the boss. Boss has left. Boss is coming back. How do you want the boss to find you when he comes? Leaning on the shovel? You know, sitting back and saying, wow, boss said he's going, I can't wait till the boss gets back. You're a liar. If you can't wait till the boss gets back, how do you want him to come through the door and find you? You want him finding you with sweat on your brow. Hello? You want him to find you with your hand on the shovel. You want him to find you deeply involved in the work that he left for you to do. You don't care if he slips in and right there and you didn't know it was that very moment. That's not what is what matters to you. It's what condition are you in when he comes? What state of mind? What are you busy doing? What are your involvement in? And the people that are waiting for Jesus Christ are not the folks that are just talking or singing about Him coming. It's the folks that are working and laboring in the kingdom of God. And that's what we need. Now, I'll just be honest with you. This church has reached out in a lot of areas. But, you know, again, I think probably in the area of evangelism, that has been a weakness. It's a weakness in many churches. Many churches are weak, especially holiness churches, in the area of evangelism. It's been a weakness in this church. I prayed about it for a long time. I asked the Lord. I've asked God to send evangelists. I prayed. God told me and pastors in 1 Timothy, do the work of an evangelist in 2 Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist, chapter 4, I believe it is, in 2 Timothy. He tells us to preach the word, be instant. We preach the word. We've done the work at various times, but we want to do that to have this church more consistently reaching out to the lost. If we're going to grow, we got to reach. How many want to grow? I want the church to grow. I want to see sinners come and be saved. I want to see people change. And they don't have to come here and be saved. I want them to come here after they get saved, or they can come here and be saved, either one. I don't really care where they get saved. I want them to get saved. They can get saved on the street corner. They can get saved in their house. They can get saved right where you witness to them. That's where they ought to get saved, and wherever you find them. But, you know, it may just be you're able to make an invite and they come in and they get saved. That's what we want to see. And then we want to be able to minister to them once they come and reach out to them. And if a church is not busy reaching out, it will have more struggle within. Because all it will do is sit and compare itself amongst itself. And then you have fussing and fighting because all you're doing is evaluating each other because you're not busy reaching out, involving your life in other people's, trying to find someone, work with someone. And all you do is sit around basically and evaluate everybody that's in the church. And that's how you cause internal strife. And you'll find out the church that doesn't reach out will turn inward. And when it turns inward, it'll end up a lot of times turning on itself. And that's not what we're interested in. But you get so busy reaching out to the lives of others. You don't have any time to worry about sometimes, you know, the next one sitting to you in the church and that, because your life is involved in reaching someone for Jesus Christ, praying with that person, discipling them, helping them, active. Show me a person that's not active and laboring in the kingdom of Christ, and I'll show you a target for the enemy. Amen. Because I found someone idle. The devil can reach an idle person because they've got time on their hands. They're not using it wisely. Or he can get them to put their time in things that just makes them carnal and not spiritual. And so show me someone that's praying. Show me someone that's reaching. Show me someone that's seeking God, that's reading the Word, that wants to witness. And I'll show you someone the devil's going to have a harder time getting a hold of because their life is engrossed in the work of God. So I want to encourage this church to do that. We're going to talk here this afternoon. But in that process of, in that course of doing, concerned about reaching out, we in all of our churches, we came together and we had a conference here recently on this. We invited a speaker by the name of David Lamb, a holiness man from Richmond, Kentucky, and came and shared with us some things that they're doing at their church. He's been there about 2.5-3 years, somewhere in that time frame, and their church has grown from around 12 people to about, I don't know, they've probably got bona fide saints, 80, 90 folks. Got about 150, 160 folks come, but they're not all saved. They're in a neighborhood church and inner city church, and they have a lot of folks that come off the streets. I mean, they may have folks any given day, 150 people, and half of them are saints and half of them are sinners. And you know, the church is just there in the city, and there's people that's being invited constantly. But there are people being saved nearly every service. Folks are being saved and converted to Jesus Christ. Sometimes they walk off the street and get saved. But that's where they are. They're in that kind of inner city church. Anyway, he came. He shared several things about his experience and, you know, some principles of evangelism. Brother Messer shared some principles of evangelism. And I want to... I'm not going to go through so much of that. We'll be dealing with things as we go along. But what I wanted to do here this afternoon is I share, make a few comments myself. There were some people here, I wish there were more, that were at that conference. The Hootons, Brother Mitchell, the Lapps, Brother Daniel, the Jacksons, my family. I think that's all. Huh? Yeah, but they're not here. Yeah, I mean the ones that are here. Yeah, we had other folks from the church, the Cottles there, but they're not here with us this afternoon. So among the folks that were here, those were at the conference. I want you to share maybe your take for some things, your concerns or questions about anything that was there. I wanted to give a time to do that. Sometimes we don't have to take time just to sit down and talk with one another and share what our feelings were. So I want to have some time for that. I want to share a few things that I took away from it. I understand that, number one, we have a job to reach out. That's our calling, church. I hope there would be no disagreement in this room about that. We are evangelistic people. We're an evangelistic church in that regard. That's our doctrine anyway. Must become our practice. And it is because we've done that. We've knocked on doors. We've preached. We've had tent meetings. We send CDs. We've done a lot of things at different times in this community to reach the lost. But we are a church that believes in the Great Commission and reaching the lost. Now, one of the things that it becomes essential for that, that's got to lay the groundwork, is prayer. That's the first thing. There's a passage in Romans chapter 10 that talks about you go and talks about, you know, they're going to, when they hear, they believe, and they're saved. But in order to save, you got to believe. Be saved, you got to believe. In order to believe, you've got to hear. In order to hear, there's got to be someone that preaches. In order to preach, you got to be sent. But in order for preachers to be sent, you got to pray. So the beginning of Romans 10 is actually Luke chapter 10, when the Lord said, "The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, He will send forth laborers, not into your harvest, not into the harvest, but it's His harvest. It's His field, it's His labor, it's His harvest, it's His fruit, it all belongs to Him. And we're just workers, that's all. We're servants, nothing more than that, to work in this harvest. Everything we bring in belongs to Jesus Christ. All of our work belongs to Jesus Christ. Our labor belongs to Jesus Christ. And so we come to minister the Word the Lord, and it begins with praying. And the first order of business for this church right now is to become more so a praying church. We do have people in this church that pray. How many of them agree? But we can pray more. And we're working on that. We've got to focus on praying. Because if you don't go out there in the spirit of prayer, you're not going to accomplish anything. If you don't reach out to people out of a heart that's burdened and a heart that cares, you will not accomplish it. If you just go to do it because you want to do it, it won't have an effect that needs to be done. It's got to be birthed here. In the soul, in that heart. And that means we've got to pray that God will send forth laborers into His harvest. And we want to talk about some things. Again, we're going to be doing in this church. I'll share that maybe a little later today. But we're concerned about reaching our community, how we can do that. And I'd like to listen to some of you here this afternoon. I just want to get an opportunity to share. I will ask some questions during this afternoon, and I'll share some more as we go along. But I'm going to stop here for a moment and tell you that our concern is to reach. We're going to be driving for that. If you don't want to be a part of a growing church, you'll be uncomfortable. And I hope that you'll be very uncomfortable, because I want you to grow. I want this church to grow. I want to reach new people. New people bring new challenges. Amen. New people change your church. You get converts, it changes your church. That's why some people struggle with it. Because what happens is it does change a church. You get new people. You make new friends. You get new relationships. You get new people that can sing. Different things happen. The whole church changes. And sometimes we don't want the church to change. We don't want things to be different. We want it to stay the same. But it can't stay the same. Amen? We're going to heaven where there's all kinds of different folks, right? And I want to be a part of that. So let me say to you here this afternoon that we're going to start, and I want each of you to take a moment, and those of you that would like to share or answer, ask some questions, I'd like for you to do that here this afternoon. So who wants to be first? Who would like to share what you, maybe from the conference or just what God's been speaking to you? Let you go and just let me open up the floor for that.
Looking for things that we could do, or just pretty much want to limit it to what we got from the conference.
Not all of it. Whatever's on your heart.
I pretty much agree with about everything he said at the conference. First thing is, like you've already said, we're not an inner city church, so there's some limitations that we have in that area. I'd like to start by saying that I enjoy this church for what it is, and I know that the church is going to change it. In some ways, I'm not particularly crazy about the way we worship changing, the songs we sing changing, the preaching changing. And the reason I say that is because I know, I've seen it before, that a lot of times when other people start coming in, the church wants to change to accommodate them instead of letting God change them to accommodate the church. And we don't want to get into that.
Amen.
We've got the plan, and I believe
that
God's got this church here for purpose, as a standard. I mean, I'm not saying there's not anything we can't do different, but I believe that the basics are here, the worship, the way the services go. I love it here. I've been to other churches, and I just really love it. David Wilkerson said a long time ago, he said, when revival comes, he said, the church will go back to singing hymns. He said that 20 years ago. And it's true. I believe when a true revival comes, that people sing the old hymns. Mm-hmm. They don't branch out into this new stuff and little lyrics on the wall and that kind of thing. So I'd like to say that first. Another thing he said that I didn't really agree with, I wouldn't argue with him about it, but he made the statement that he had a lot of people in his church that had felony convictions, and therefore they couldn't find jobs. And he also made the statement that the church was supporting a lot of people, were paying bills for some people. He made a statement. He named 17, 18 different ones that they were having to help pay the bills for because they couldn't work. I disagree with that. I got felony convictions. I've been down that road. I've had a job ever since I got out of prison. I believe God's able to supply those needs. The Bible says, in the scripture, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor with his own hands that he'll have to give to someone else. Not that he can sit back and receive. And the reason I say that is because this world we live in has got an entitlement mindset. Mm. And we're going to run into a whole lot of that. We're going to run into folks that come to church, and they're only coming for loaves and fishes. They're coming for you to do something for them. And I want to say this. I mean, I'm not so far on one side that I can't go on the other side. I do agree that there's people we need to help. There are situations, there are families that will need to help to get on their feet. But we need to be very cautious about being a provider church, always giving. Because there's a lot of folks in the world that expect that. They expect that out of the church, they expect it out of the government, they expect it out of us individually. Having said that, I'm just really, really anxious to get out there. Be anxious to go and preach the gospel. I'll share with you. This city, where you're at, and the situation around you is just ripe for evangelism. I was sharing with you about the waterfront. You got a waterfront down there. These people are down on that waterfront every weekend. I mean, I don't know what it would take for us to get a permit and just set up a tape, have a sign stating who we are, give away CDs. I've got 7 years of CDs. I don't really care about parting with all of them. But I could kind of cull through and give a few away. And we could just give people, you know, introduce them to our church. This is our church. This is what we preach. This is what we believe. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that say things about us that aren't true. They say we preach this, we believe this, and it's not true. We could do that. I mean, that's something we could do. It would take a whole lot of skill for somebody to say, well, I don't know how to preach. I mean, anybody can sit behind a table and say, this is who we are. Mm-hmm. This is what we believe. Here's the CD. I'd like to see the time. I mentioned you before. Maybe the Lord will lay a message on your heart that you could preach specifically to give back. I remember a preacher preaching one time what it means to trust Jesus, and he went through the Bible what it meant. There's so many ideas of what people think being born again is, or being a Christian is. Something that the Lord might would give you to preach. It would just go through that and spell it out very simply what the gospel is, what it means to be, to be a child of God. You'd have something to put in people's hands that they could listen to. Just all kind of opportunities, I believe, in the city for us to do that. Places to go, like you said, we go back to the. We need to go back over to that trailer park, probably spend a solid year over there. Just park in that trailer park, get the information that we heard about. Those are the things I'd be interested in doing. I've always had a real heart for being out late at night. I don't know, maybe just because that was my upbringing. I really enjoyed going out and meeting with people on the street late at night. I've had a great deal of success. I've seen a lot of people saved, but hanging around old nightclubs and stuff. When people come out, especially at closing time, they've been in there and spent all their money and they've got nothing. I mean, it's just as empty as they were when they went in. It's a good opportunity to share the gospel. And a lot of people didn't enjoy doing that, but I do. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy, that's what we used to call street ministry. And so much go door to door, but we just go out, you know, nightclubs where a lot of crack addicts are, a lot of people of the night, you know. I never went by myself. I always had somebody with me. Just really enjoyed that. There are boundless opportunities in the city for this church to get involved. Mm-hmm. Many, many, many opportunities. Brother was telling me at lunchtime, you know, he's knocked on doors his whole life and seen very little results. I've done the same, but that doesn't change the call. That doesn't change the command for us to go. God told us to go. He didn't say for us to save or for us to do it. He told us to go. Go preach the gospel. So, I mean, I've seen very little results myself, you know, but had less than the desire to want to go. I'm just always thinking the very next one is going to be the one. The very next one we share the gospel with is going to be the one. I'm excited about it. I'm ready to go, want to go. These young men, some of them really want to go. I really think, man, we just got all kind of opportunities to saturate this city, this county, just open doors everywhere if we just look around and see them as. Like you were ministering last week when you had the word crossing and you shared the gospel everywhere. Everywhere you went. This nursing home ministry y'all involved in. I mean, those folks need the gospel. I used to go to nursing homes and I used to think that when folks got old, it got sweeter. Man, some of the meanest folks I ever met was old folks in nursing homes. I mean, if you're lost, you're lost. I mean, it was where you're at. I mean, it was how old you are. They need the gospel. It's an opportunity to go and preach the gospel. Invite people to be saved. Not just go sing them a song or, you know, give them some juice or something. I don't know what you do. I'm not making fun. I don't go with you. I'm just saying, just another opportunity. Just countless opportunities. I can buy myself up in a whole bunch of little pieces. I'd like to get involved in all of them. So, I thought I'd be worth able to do that, but I'll do it. I'm very excited.
Okay, very good.
I think Brother Steve really raised some interesting points as well. And that is,
every church has to reach its neighborhood. People are different everywhere. What sometimes works in one area doesn't work in another area. And I think that what we have to do is, again, find what's available to us and what will work for us. An inner city church where you have, again, your church in the middle of a crack neighborhood, well, it's a lot different ballgame. It's a lot different ballgame. But that doesn't take away from our need to preach the gospel and to go. I know as far as, and I've heard it many times, folks talk about it. Well, I've never seen much results out of knocking on doors. Well, I have to ask some questions. Number one, what are you doing instead of that, and what kind of results are you getting from that? Some people say, well, I don't get much results from knocking on doors. Okay, fine. Then what have you done in place of knocking on doors? Nothing. Well, what kind of results are you getting from doing nothing? Nothing. So it's better to do something and get nothing than do nothing and get nothing. At least we've done something. At least we've been out there and helped us. And I know this. I've knocked on piles of doors. I've preached on the street. I've taken been faithful, as in Charlotte, Saturday after Saturday after Saturday. When nobody else carried it, I went down there, me and another brother, and every Saturday I took time. I already spent so much time away from my family as it was, but I was down there every Saturday afternoon on that platform. And no, I didn't come in the droves. They didn't. But one of the reasons I've found that I think there's a some of the reasons that hasn't happened. Number one is a lack of consistency in doing it. You have to do it regularly. You have to do it regularly. Number two is a lack of involvement on the part of the whole church. What you get is you get a few people involved, a few people carried on their heart, and the rest of the church could care less about it. And if so-and-so brings a few souls, that's good. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody in the church is knocking on doors, but it means that everybody in church is involved in it in some way. You may be involved in praying. You may be involved in giving. You may be involved in encouraging or discipling. But somewhere, somehow, according to your ability and what you can do, you are involved in what the church is doing in its ministry. And so that's an aspect that I feel. And I've heard that excuse before, and I've used it. I've used the excuse myself. I said, well, I've never done that, and I never got much results. Well, I mean, Jesus Christ preached all what He preached. And when you think about 120 after 3.5 years of God Himself on the earth, 120 in an upper room, that probably wouldn't be the greatest results that we would consider. If we were measuring it by results, we would probably count Jesus a failure. But God doesn't measure things the way we measure things. And many are called, but what? That's a fact. We're going to have to face that. You know what? The fact of the matter is, the church will always be a minority number-wise on this earth. It has always been that way, and that's not going to change. So we're not there to win the masses, but we're still going to preach the gospel to everyone so that every man can hear. Some will believe, some will disbelieve and go their way. Okay. So I think, and Brother Steve mentioned the thing, I want to, things that we'll be mentioning as well, ideas. And what I want you to do out of today, I want you to listen, but I want you to begin praying, number one. Number two, I want you to begin thinking, what can I do? How can I be involved? And you might find out that if you try something, you might be better at it than you think, but you've never done it before. And if you might find out, you know what? I didn't think I'd enjoy this. But after I did it, I really enjoy doing this. I've done that before. There's things that I thought, man, I'm never going to do that. But I did it, and after I did it, I loved it. So it's sort of like eating ice cream. Sometimes you don't know what it's like until you taste it. All right, someone else want to share from the conference? I'd like for everyone that went there to at least share something. And don't be afraid to speak up. It's all right if you just share, because we got to get there. I know we're small. I wish we had more, but that's who we are.
Brother Wood, since I was mentioning that conversation, I just will put my 5 cents with you.
Yeah. Oh, was he talking about you?
I've been knocking on the door since 1997. And I know, I mean, I pushed youngins around in carriages to knock on doors. I've not seen a lot. Where I've seen most of mine is where I went to work.
There you go.
Talk with those that I've worked with.
with my family. But I'll be honest with you today, it's almost impossible to talk to folks. You can get some to talk to, but most of them, as I mentioned when I was out there, you say something to folks about getting right with God. I'm a Christian. I told you about the black boy that came. Matter of fact, I went yesterday. Come knock on my door and wanted to ride somewhere. I gave him a ride. Come to church this morning, he was on the side really with his thumb out. Picked him up, gave him a ride where he wanted to go. And he talked to me this way. He says, I want you to keep praying for me. He says, I'm a customer. He said, I ain't going to church yet. But he was loaded. I mean, you could better knock you over with the booze, but I'm going to continue to work. I mean, I'm not going to push the boy away. I don't know where it is. I think, used to, I don't know whether you can do it anymore or not. Used to could put flyers out on calls and hand flyers out, but I don't know whether it's even lawful today or not. I think that, it's just a lot of folks you're not going to know. They'll take a flyer, go to the car, add up on the basket. That's true. But there may be one that will look at it and say, well, let's go see what's going on. Let's try one time. And, of course, the reason I'm here is because of the radio ministry. That's what I heard. And those that I went to church in Virginia was by word of mouth of somebody else that I heard. And I know what brother's talking about the church, because when I was going to the Assembly of God, they weren't full of holiness like it is here. But it was close. It was about the best I could find that. But people started coming in. A lot of them came from other churches, Baptist churches, other churches around. And the preacher compromised. And I left. That's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to stay where somebody's going to compromise. But there's ways that you can get people. And unfortunately for me, I told you this. We thought about moving something over here. We're getting to a point of good days, and now we just feel like it's just almost impossible to kind of do that. It's hard for me to reach you to bring them all the way up here. I talked to my sister,
sure,
and there's folks down there, and they know. I didn't even know that I went to the conference the other day when I went to visit my sister. So I heard you went to a conference. I said, yeah. What kind of conference? Evangelism, huh? But they don't have anything down there. They don't hardly know anymore down in that area where I'm at. Holiness from anything. I mean, that's just a thing of the past down there. And I talk to my folks, my family, and they think I'm crazy. I'm just over the deep end. And I am over the deep end because there were some things I spoke to some of these boys here at the conference that he said that I did not agree with him. No, sir.
Yeah, he's Sherwin.
Yeah. He's got that woman that he loves to death, who looks like a Jezebel, that he's feeding and holding on to. I mean, it's fine to try to help people for a while. Look, he said she had a bad time. I was blackmailed out of the Holiest Church before I ever came out this way. And I did nothing to do it. My name was mud in every one of the churches I went around. Because my daughter and her husband split. And I was in the church, and I was a Sunday school teacher. And because I would not, it was the same day I heard about it. I didn't even know anything about it until the same day. I wouldn't shake his hand, or I didn't say anything to him. I didn't say nothing to him. Didn't shake his hand. And because of that, I was pushed out of the church. And I called, and I said, fine. I searched for you before. I went to a little church and didn't have 8-10 people. I'd drive this far as I do right now. But I'll drive that distance to hear holiness and the people live right before I go to compromise the church. There are things that we can do.
Yes.
And I know. Maybe I'm not like a lot of folks. You don't have to come visit me just to visit. If you want to come visit, fine. But you ain't got to visit me to get me to go to church.
Yeah.
I want to go to church.
Right.
I would have been the house of God. You ain't got to pat me on the back and baby me. I'm not there. And maybe there's some folks like that. I've seen a lot of folks that you pet and baby. After a while, they're gone and they don't stay. Folks who love God and want to come to church, they come. If they don't love God, they ain't going to come here. Don't have a difference.
Thank you, Brother John. What I said, I didn't say for your benefit. He didn't tell me he was talking to you. I didn't say that for your benefit. I said it even for my own benefit, in the sense that I'm a minister. All what Brother John said, I understand. I've been there too. But there still was this trapping thing in my heart. Preach, preach, preach. Whether they come or don't come. And we may not know the full results of it. We do have an obligation, however. And it's what Brother John says, I understand where he's coming from. And I don't remember all the details. I remember something about what Brother David said about the lady. But there's always the question of discernment that we will all have to deal with. When do you cut a person off? How long do you work with someone? You know, the Lord gave the parable of the tree. 3 years he came looking for fruit. And then he said, I'm going to cut it down. And the intercessor said, give me one more try. Let me dung it. Let me fertilize it. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. You know, and I understand where Brother John is too. And I think the point that it's right. Is right. You know what? There's a lot of times you do. You carry someone. You spend a lot of time, and they don't want to do it. You end up losing them in the end time anyway. And I don't know. I'm one of those fellows that I tend to go the extra mile. I tend to go as far as I can go. But there comes a point I shut it down myself. But a lot of times, quite honestly, a lot of times, there have been folks that I put time into and. They didn't come anyway. They lost out anyway. So, but it takes discernment. That's where I think too. If you've got the power of the Lord's working. You're probably all. We're all going to miss that one once in a while. But Brother John's right in what he says. It takes, and just knowing. And now I'm like Brother John. I mean, as far as bad experiences, look, I've been in a church where. And my dad was a pastor, and I had other members that nailed me to the wall. Treated me, I went home weeping and crying, broken over it, tried to fix it, went to folks, tried to make it hurt. Oh my, I was ripped my heart to pieces. But you know where Sunday morning found me? Back in church, seeking God, reaching to that person. I mean, I've been in churches that, yeah, I've got hurt too many times to count. Don't focus that. I mean, that's not what it's all about. And the only time I left is when the preaching, what this brother says, when the preaching compromises. If the preaching's true, I'm going to hang. I'm going to work. I'm going to be the best I can be. But the preaching compromises, I'll go somewhere else. Because I got to have the Word. That's what's primary. I've got to have the Word. If I have that, I can live anywhere. You can deal with anything you got to deal with. You can get the preaching of the Word. So, okay, I can get talking a lot of things here. I thank you, Brother John, for your comments. Brother John mentioned as well this business, and we've talked about this before. Again, we have to have a heart to reach to people. Your best successes are going to be who you can reach one-on-one. I've won through various means people to this church. One, the Camachos were one because my wife got connected with them. She was selling some home interior at the time. And all we did was babysit their children for them. They went off somewhere. And I don't know how in the world, after two or three times meeting them, they trusted us with their kids, but they did. We babysat their children. And then before I know it, they came to me, and I knew they were Catholics, they came to me for marriage counseling. And then in the process of that, I witnessed and they get saved. So, and then other folks connected there. Javier and Mary reaching to their children, David and Sully, saying, Lupe was sent to me by social services, so I got that way. That way. I found the O'Connor family at a yard sale. And various people, so many on the radio, not just I think came here because of the radio. Did you hear some radio? Where did you hear this? I'm talking to you. Because you were at Brenda Quick Church, not?
Yeah. But we were looking around the church. We had heard you preach a
Well, it's easier because of the radio program. But you were church people. We are talking about sinner people as well. They won't listen to that radio program. But church now, and again, we're not here to grow by plundering other churches. Now, if your church just ain't preaching the gospel, then I'm going to invite you to come. Come on. I don't bother that me at all. But if your church is preaching the gospel, and then you need to stay in your church. If they're preaching the truth, I don't want you. I'm not here to proselyte you. But, you know, if your church ain't preaching the truth, then you need to get out of it before it messes you up. I don't have any problem with that. You come on, you be here. But we're also talking about we've got to reach folks, other folks, the Camachos. Other folks. I don't know why that one battery wasn't charging for some reason. We got a little issue going on with that thing. The other folks, is, like I said, the O'Connors had been churched, but they weren't. They had left their church, and so they weren't in church. And one and Angel and Elva weren't saved. Javier and Mary, they weren't saved. They were Catholics. They thought they were saved, but they weren't saved. So I know what it is to reach the sinner. I mean, the churched people as well. We did that. But these were folks that were outside the church. And others have come here for family members. Brother Gordon's here because of his brother, Brother Al. So there are family members that we have connection. And Brother Max here, because his wife was with us to start with. And then he come because of his wife. And Sister Helen came because of some her mother. And Sister, her mother passed away. God rest her soul, fine woman. But her church went liberal. So she got out of that mess. And then she got here and loved it. And finally, through her influence, her daughter Helen came. And those things has to be going on all the time. We've got, and that success is there. And then I think also the privilege of going out and knocking on door does a couple of things for us. Maybe it doesn't yield as much fruit as we would like. In other words, every other door doesn't get saved. Every other house, we don't have a convert. But it does. What it does do is a couple of things. Number one, Christ is preached. Christ is preached. And on Judgment Day, it'll be a witness against them. It'll be a witness against them. That's number one. Number two, the church becomes known. It may be 5 years down the road, they have a trouble. They're going to remember the one who constantly knocked on their door. They're going to remember that church. So it does give an opportunity. If somewhere God deals with them later, gives them another chance to come, it gives an opportunity for them to come. Third thing it does is it helps you in sharing your faith. I gain as much by knocking on a door as a person does by receiving that knock. Because I don't know what, I'm telling you, it'll put a fire in you. When you go in and you pray for someone, when you speak to someone about Jesus, and there's just, it has an effect to build you. So that I think, is there's more value that comes from it than sometimes the number of converts that are gained. There's a lot of things that's going on with that. But I do agree with what Brother John said on many ways, and keep working. But we have to do some other things, church. We've got to let this community know. And it's I don't think it's going to get any easier, Brother John. People's hearts are turning harder. So he told Isaiah, he told him to go preach. He told him from the start, they're not going to hear you. I'm sending you to rebellious people. I'm sending you to people. How long am I going to do that, Lord? Till the land's wasted without inhabitant. So he already knew before he went, he wasn't going to have a successful ministry. But his message would judge them. If it didn't save them, it would judge them. And there would be those who would be saved. There would be a remnant. And we're going to find that remnant. But we have to sometimes throw that net out there, as that brother said, and we get, there's a lot that comes. Thank you, Brother John. Someone else want to share? Brother Ross, you were there?
Yeah, I was there. I'll share some things. These are just thoughts and stuff, though. These are just thoughts and things that come to me. And when I testify, so outside of preaching, my mind is just, I'm forgetful and I can't. So bear with me, so I can try to makes sense. The lights in the flower don't make sense. More than one, I am excited about the response of the elders and the church after the conference. It just seems, I'm just excited and anxious to do more in the church and, you know, just work and just the stuff you're saying about wanting to grow and wanting to evangelize and reach out. So I'm excited and I'm on board. And one thing I'll say is, people say they don't see results and they don't see fruit. That's the thing. They don't see it. But that don't mean there's no fruit. You just don't see it. I'll just use my own example. I mean, there's been times where I was, you hear pastors say this, you hear church members say this, you hear other street preachers say this, you hear people say, but then you think, man, why am I even out here preaching? Like, I know God called me to preach campuses, streets, but mainly campuses. But then you don't see fruit. You're doing it wrong. You don't agree with your method. You're doing it wrong. Then you go pray more, study the Bible, fast, and then you read the Bible and say, God, this is an effective way to do it. Do it the way I say. And then me, I don't see a lot of, we don't really see any conversions. We have had some, but not a lot, you know. Probably no more than five that I can even think of. And it's for 5 years, you know. That's bad. And I'm only working to change that. But when our most on fire convert, never heard us preach on campus, never didn't even know me. He was so convicted, he goes to a private university in Elon University in Greensboro. He was so convicted, so stirred, and Lord was dealing with him so mightily. And all the Christians he knew on campus was, he knew they were cold. He knew they weren't saved. So he's like, I want to get saved. I don't know where to go. I don't know. Somebody on this campus heard of us some way, through internet or just through preaching. Said, oh, you need to talk to this crazy guy, Brother Ross. Never heard me preach. And then he's on fire now. So he sent me a message on Facebook and said, I want to talk to you. I just thought it was just... We get messages all the time from students that just want to scream at us and just obliterate us. So I ignored him. He sent me another message. I need to talk to you. Gave me his phone number. So I started praying. He sent me another message. He said, yeah, I need to talk to you. So I said, okay, I need to call this guy. As soon as I called him, he was just asking all these questions. So he said, when if you can get out here? So we just drove out there. I went and this is the Lord. I mean, probably anybody that would have went that was had a spirit could have converted him. So this ain't nothing to do with me. This is just, he was right. He was ready to get saved. Somebody just had to show him. So we go to a place, sit down. He's like this the whole time. He probably talked for 5 minutes and I preached on him for like an hour and a half. He probably said 5 minutes worth of anything. I mean, he was just gobbling it up. Converted. He said, okay, well, what do I need to do now? Do I need to go preach in the street? I said, no, just... read your Bible. Now we kept in touch, and now he's on fire. And that's just simply from me just staying committed to what God called me to do. And just through the grapevine, he heard of us. And, you know, so what if I would have just gave up, you know? And then another testimony, you know, because a lot of times you just get so discouraged, you don't see the fruit. A student once, and then I'm going to move on to other points. A student once, you preach on campus, and the majority, I'll agree, the way I do it, or whatever. The majority when you're out there do oppose you and they're yelling and screaming. But I didn't know this. And these are campus, Victory Campus Ministries at ECU. Most of them are not saved. Probably 90% of them aren't saved. I've been there prayer meetings. I've been to one of them. They ain't saved. Most of them by far. We go to prayer meeting and you got girls in pajamas, they're laying down, no shoes on, pajamas on, tank tops, dim lights, and that's their prayer meeting at 10 o'clock at night. But anyway. So this is very encouraging. This is just something that encouraged me, that's not to forget. Just briefed on campus, usual. I met one guy one day, talked to him, we had lunch together. He said, let me tell you this, just to encourage you. He said, one day you preached on campus, and two of them was his roommates. He said, after you got done preaching, He said they bust in the door. He said they ran in the door. They came running to him, trembling, shaking. He said, "Brother Royce, we're going to hell for our sin." He said, "We're going to hell if we do this." He said they were like horrified, scared, shaking. And he said he was so taken back, he just lost the words. He said, "Is this true? If we are being given something going to hell?" He said they were like horrified. And he said he had to not yield to temptation. He said, "Yeah." And he said they were just troubled. Just the next hour, they were just like under conviction and praying and seeking God. And I didn't know that. You know, I don't know who's getting saved out there. So that should be, I mean, just for people, just not give up and don't get discouraged from doing what you think God is leading you to do just because you don't see the fruit. Also, I think a good point, something good that he did mention, I didn't agree with everything he said. I did agree with most by far. Understanding his, where he's at, and him being a pastor, and I almost agree with most of it. One good point he made was about ministries, especially young Christians, like people get inspired and learn to do something, and then they'll just throw it on you and expect you to do it, you know, because you're the leading elder, when it's something that they could do, you know, if you give them permission, and it's biblical, and it's in the confines, and so maybe that'd be something good to touch on. Maybe like somebody, like you said with the lady with the flowers, I want to do the flower thing, and she expected him to do it. You know, I also thought that was a good, because a lot of times people, they may get stirred to do something or be in a direction, and they'll pretty much wait for you or Brother Doug to like, you know, I mean, you know, you gotta, you know, okay.
You know, you do it for them.
Yeah, right. You know, that's one thing to keep in mind, that you can't do everything. You know, Brother Doug, they can't do every single thing. Something else was like, in terms of like he mentioned, long suffering with people, with sinners especially, and giving to people that may come, or even somebody that got a desperate need. They say, yeah, we can't, you know. Some people got patience different than others. Yeah, the Jezebel lady, giving to people, you know, paying their bills. Well, my thing is, how would Jesus deal with that person? When would Jesus cut them off? He wouldn't. He would in a sense of, he's not always going to strive with them. But in terms of his long suffering and his patience, Jesus got to be our example. I'm sure you don't know this, but giving to the poor, giving to paying people bills. Well, our model has to be Jesus. What's you know, what does Jesus say about giving to the poor? He said, "Give to them that ask you." Now, of course, he said you don't give money, and I don't never ever give money to homeless people. I did in the past, and I don't do that. So, me, I try to make sure I'm not yielding to the temptation of my flesh and my pride and my lack of understanding to just, you know, come up with an excuse not to. Well, I mean, Jesus, Bible got to be our example when it comes to dealing with these people. But like this, when I was going to this church in Varensburg, you know, this lady would come. She probably came here. Just some, just lady, she goes around churches begging, well, asking for money and bills and all this. And so she came to church once, and I was in there. Most homeless church I go to, I'm the only black person. So I spoke to her, and they helped her. They paid some of her bills. And she would come. So she came once, and I was there. The next service, it was like Wednesday night, I was in Chocolatey. The next service, she was there. And I was there. She came straight to me, and she said, as soon as she seen me, she said, "I don't go to every church and beg for money and all this. I know he was in the church Sunday. So don't you..." So she pretty much gave it away what she's doing just by doing that. How she came to me and how she just ran over to me and just to...
You could spoil her game.
Yeah. So... Yeah, so... And they prayed there that night, and we went back in the room, and I think they made the right decision, because she just made it pretty obvious that she was, and I agree with the decision they made, that, you know, they didn't give her what she wanted. And the Spirit testified that was the right thing to do. What else was I going to say? One thing is about dealing with sinners and people that may be bitter from homeless churches or just, not even homeless churches, just mean-spirited people. I think I had, before I came here, I had a lot of reasons to be bitter against homeless people. Now, anybody that knows anything about the church I came from, I'm not going to say no names, but this has nothing to do with them, if anybody knows anything. So I'm not degrading them or, what's the word? Not degrading, slandering, that's the word. So, I got every reason to be bitter against homeless. I can make an excuse. I could say every homeless person is a racist. I mean, I've dealt with stuff where, and I was almost tempted to just, that I meet this home church group, and I got ran off from a church, and all this, and then being black had part to do with it, and being on fire had something to do with it, laboring and preaching about revival and prayer, that has some. So I'm like, so I get run off, and I could just be bitter and say, all homeless people are racist. Most of the homeless churches I go to and preach, and when I would go around and travel, of course, most of them are white. Most of the before I started going to that church, I was going to a church in Greenville, black. I mean, I left because I had just got saved. They were charismatic, money hungry. They was in the prosperity thing, and now I see a lot of names for it, not even saved. But, but basically about, it's like, that's my train of thought, but being bitter or being dealing with people that may have issues, be patient with them because you don't know what they went through. You don't know. I was going to make another point about saying that, about my experience, but I can't remember. But just dealing with people that may have come from hurt, that got hurt or whatever, and you don't want to give a bad example to them. Another thing he said, Another thing he said, of course, and you already mentioned it, about prayer being a priority, being one of the priorities. I thought that was good, and I will say this: I haven't known him for too many years, Brother Lamb, but I do believe one reason why he's getting a lot of that fruit is because of years of praying and fasting. If he told you, he'd tell anybody. I mean, you'd be surprised by his weight, how much he fasts. I'm just gonna say it, and he just lost a bunch of weight. But most people will be blown away if they find out how much he fasts and how much he prays, and for years and years, So I was glad he mentioned about the prayer being a priority. But I do think, I know a lot of the fruit now is because it's consistent, praying. But,
consistency makes a difference. Let me stay here. I'm closing this door. I want to say, I think that this when you begin to deal with anybody coming into church, no matter who they are, anyone presents a challenge, especially in today's culture. Whatever problems are out in my world, that's what they got when they come. All right, they get saved, and that's what they're coming out of. Brother Steve is right. We've got this entitlement mentality in our world today. He gave an example and said, I can't tell you the people. And we've got one we're kind of dealing with. And you're patient. Sometimes one of the things that helps is you need a balance of personalities in your church. And you need, sometimes you need that Paul and you need that Barnabas. You need that Paul that says, nope, that's it, I'm cutting you off. And then you need that Barnabas that says, I think there's still hope, I'm going to take this guy and work with him. And you can say what you want to. You say, well, if it hadn't been for Barnabas, he would have been lost. I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for Paul, he'd have been lost. You needed the man that would cut him off, and then you needed the man that would help him and say, I'm sorry. You need both. I just say that's not something that worries me, because I believe we'll make the right decision. You're going to fail at it sometimes. I'd probably rather fail on the side of mercy than I would have cut off mercy too soon. But at the same time, if you can determine you got a freeloader, you need to cut him off. If you can determine you got a moocher, you need to cut him off, because you aren't helping. You're not helping that person. As far as the Brother John mentioned, the person, I don't know what all that was about that Jezebel. I didn't quite get all that, how that was going on. But anyway, I don't know what the woman was, all that was going on with that. But people want to come, let them come. But there is a line between there and up here, too. They sit out there in the hall as long as they want to sit and listen to the preaching, but they're not coming up here. That's why I draw a line. That's a big line. So I mean, I can tolerate a lot out there in that pew. It may come as you are. After a while, you're either going to change because of the preaching, or you're going to get mad and leave. But that's okay. I can tolerate. But no Jezebel up here, and he has that standard as well. I know Brother Lamb has that standard. So, all right. Let me give opportunity, and I'm going to kind of sum it up. Anyway, who else was there?
So I was starting to feel, had some bitterness about that, how I got run off. And how I started coming here was, I knew I was going to leave. And a few years ago, I had met Brother Messer up in Virginia. And then about before that, I had heard you on the radio.
Well, you visited here a couple times.
Yeah, I visited. Yeah, I heard you on the radio. But so I was feeling like this, and it was, I mean, I knew it was the devil just trying to get me out of church and get me bitter and, you know, just making excuses to just be some Mustang and, you know. So, but when I met Brother Messer, basically just his spirit and his lovingness and his gentleness. And even when after we first got married, because some people, you know, I'm not, can I just be plain? Some people are, even Christians, they may be saved, they may be not, but, you know, me and my wife, some people just, you know. But the way he treated us and the way he treated me before I even got married was one of the things that sealed the deal for me to come here. You know, even after all of that, just how he was, you know, his example, he was so Christ-like, and his complacent love that he had. Just basically just obliterated any excuse I could have had, anything I could have came up with about all homeless people, all white people, all races, or, you know, just, I mean, none of that racism stuff is in my mind, but just his example, his character, and the way he treated me was one of the things that just sold it for me, you know. And I could have came up with every reason to be bitter against homeless people. That's what I was going to say.
All right. Who else was there? Let's speak.
I'd say a little something about something I got from Brother Lamb, especially in that one of the last sessions, was the way his church was organized. How they went. I know we as Christians, we don't want organization as in the tradition and the common tradition, only that kind of thing. I understand that. But the early church was organized as well, and that's why they had deacons, because they were organized and the apostles had been doing. So I really was amazed by the organization they had. Every time they would go out, certain teams, you go here, you get this number, take that number, take names, you do this, you do that. He subs it out, you want to do this, and that really amazed me, and something that I think we need to work towards as well as organization. And something else that I talked to you about this, Brother Woods, was the names, getting the names right now. You'd be surprised how much it can open someone up if you just call them by their name. I see that in my business because I'm more there out front in the office. And I see a customer will do a job for him, and he may have to come back for another job, or he may have a problem with the vehicle I could work on. And if I see them pulling up in the parking lot, I'm trying to think, what's his name? What's his name? What's his name? If I can't get it the first time, I'll look it up, and next time I'll call him. I'll call him by his last name. He's a younger guy. I usually call him by his first name. Hey, man, how you doing? I'm Andrew Laff. I'm an expert auto care. And if it's an older gentleman, older lady, or any lady at all, I can call him by the last name. Say, Mrs. This is Andrew. You'd be surprised how much they open up just if you call them by their name. And I think that's something to get towards, too, like what Steve said. We take a year to do one trailer park. Every time we go back, we call them by their name. Hey, how you doing? We call their children by their name. How are you, yada, yada, yada. It'll make a total difference.
Okay. Let me give you a few things in closing this afternoon. We'll mention and deal with things again as we go along. I might just call some informal meetings and share with people. Here's what I'd like you to do. Number one, I'd like you to focus on prayer. Fasting, Wednesday's fasting and prayer. I'd like you to really focus on that because God can speak to you. God can deal with your heart. Nothing needs to be done that's not born out of prayer. Nothing that needs to be done that's not born out of the spirit of prayer and seeking the Lord. Doing something just to doing something, to do something, I've done that. I'm not interested in that. I want God to work, but it's been in my heart for some time. So I'd like you to pray, number one. Number two, I'd like you to be thinking about various venues and avenues. We're getting ready. We've been working on this before the conference. We did it some time ago, but we're redoing our visitor's card. We had a visitor this morning. Let's just admit it. Recently, we've had a right good steady stream of visitors, haven't we? That's a resource we're not tapping into, church. Okay, so I need somebody, and I need someone that's committed. I want a man and a woman at least, a husband and wife. I don't care. They don't have to be married because they can do it independently. And even a young person. I'd like to have about three or four people who would say, I'll be responsible that on Sunday mornings or any service, as far as that goes, that a visitor comes in here, I will make sure that I greet them, give them a visitor card, and get it back from them. We can get name, address, see if they want to be visited, see if they would like to be contacted by one of the pastors or whatever. But we've got something, and if I get that visitor card, I've got a name. I try to get their name when they come. I'll forget it by the next service. But I try to do that. I like to call people by their name. I got her name this morning. I like to call that name. But I need some people. I'm not going to ask you for that now. I'd like you to pray about it. But here's the thing. If you want to come, and I probably don't have to worry about that this afternoon because the folks here on Sunday afternoon are usually the faithful ones. But, you know, if you're only here every other Sunday, I don't want you. All right? I need someone that's here regularly. That doesn't say you can't miss a Sunday, but you get sick or something. But I want some people who can cover it, and they'll be faithful that when that lady walks in the door and they come in here and they see a visitor, they're the first one to greet and say, would you please mind out? Here's a pen. Here's a card. Could you fill this out for us? We welcome you today. Folks, that makes a difference. Say it don't, but it, right there, God sent someone in our door and they walk out of here and we don't even have a name. I saw several of you folks talking with that lady today. That's what needs to happen. She's got to make a connection. That's what's got to happen. But I want a woman. I want a man because it's just a single man. I don't want a woman going up there giving him a visitor's card. I want a man to give him a visitor's card. If it's just a single woman like that today, my preference would have been that a woman went up and gave her a visitor's card. If it's a family, it can probably be done. Approach the man of the household, give them a visitor's card, and do that. So that's one of the things that we're going to be doing. And then I liked what Brother Lamb did about visitor's card. And then that Monday, they sent a letter to that person thanking them for coming. I like that. It's a good touch. I like that. So that's something we can do. But again, I do enough secretarial work. I want someone who can take that and do it. Be responsible for, basically, I would write the letter, be a form letter, sign it. Someone could print it off. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. I am picky. I've taken a lot of heat for this. But we print up Grace of Truth. I make a flyer. I like it to look good. I don't like junk thrown together. It looks like it came off a copy press somewhere in someone's backyard. I don't like that. So my point, I said that to say this, not to belittle anybody, but, you know, take it. I want you to be serious about it. I don't want an envelope just, or a letter just thrown in an envelope halfway folded, and the stamp's upside down, and it looks like, and they get this thing. Where in the world did that come from? Make it look neat. Make it look professional. Does that make sense? All right. Because that's an image that represents us. We represent Christ. So I only say that. I say that because I want you to pray about it. Brother Woods, I'll do that. I can do that. Brother Steve, I think, has mentioned a good option. If you do like Saturday evening, sometimes on the waterfront, we can check in. We need to check into it. But someone can volunteer to do that. It would be great. But just going down there, put up a table, go down there for two or three people, and we got our church flyers, we got some Grace and Truth. We can get a CD. I can preach it, but we've got tons of them. That's not a problem. We can print gobs of CDs. And just nothing more. People come up. What are you doing? Have a little sign out there. Who we are. They walk by. Hey, can we give you something? Invite them to church. What's wrong with that? That doesn't hurt a soul, does it? And you go, who knows? God, and you pray. You pray, you pray. God, let someone be hungry that come up and be interested. And lead me to talk to that person. You know, to do more than just hand them a CD, invite them to church. But that's something, church. That's something that can put in somebody's hand. So I think those are good things that we want to weigh. But we want to pray. We're going to be dealing with it in the next few weeks. Just praying, seeking God. A lot's going on. I want you to think about what you can do. A lot of you are doing things as well that I don't know about. I'm glad you want us to keep doing them. There are a lot of things that could go on more efficient. This young man was right. Better organization on our part. Well, we're working on that, so pray for us. And we want you to, and I'm like Brother Ross, you got a good idea? Okay. Then, or what Brother Lamb said, then we're going to want you to take it. But, and that's probably been a little bit of a hindrance on my part. I like things to be done right. I do. I like them to be done right. And so take it. If it's your heart, then take it and do it. Amen. Anybody else have a comment? We'll do it again. Because I want us to work.
Let's have a van in the future somewhere. We can actually, like that close trailer for someone, pray about it, be on their heart to go in there and get kids to pick them up, bring them to church. Something I've been thinking about a lot about something of that nature.
Sure.
And then even if that van were here, it could be used for other purposes all the time. Get together as a group, and gas is expensive. Time go together, go to church or revival or something. We're all fishing together, but I mean, really, we go out in the neighborhoods, those people, pick up kids a lot of times. That's how kids' parents come, you know, through the children, going in neighborhoods and picking up kids and bringing them to church.
A lot of doors are going to open, church. A lot of things will grow from these good things.
All right. So, what are we doing now? One more time. What are we doing? We're praying. We're asking God for His leadership and what I can do. I need some folks, number one, who just take the visitor card. But I want, again, you can't, you got to have a smile. You can't go,
well, I'm glad you came to see us today.
All right.
Hey, could you fill this visitor card out for us?
I don't know, we don't have anyone to do that, but you understand my point, all right? It does take a right personality. Not everybody can greet people. but do it. Get it on your heart. Pray about it if you can do that. Come to me. See me. Brother Woods, I think I can do that. All right. You're going to be up to bat. So I'd like for you to take that on your heart. I'll pass out a visitor card. I'll send that letter out. And there's other things that we'll be presenting to the church, but we're praying about this, which way to go. And again, the other thing is those of you that be interested in knocking on doors, if I don't have it two or three, and I want to do this again when I got more people, but if I don't have it two or three, I want them to be committed. And we've got to do it. We've got to stick with it. So, Brother Woods, I can't knock on a door. But I tell you what I could do, Brother Woods. I'll commit to the 3 hours they're out there, or 1 hour that they're out there with two other people. I'll be on my knees praying for them while they're out there knocking on doors. That's important, isn't it? That's important. And it is hard. Brother John is right. This is what we got to do, Brother John. Our people are so scattered. We're over half creation around here, and folks come in and they're all over the country. Okay, so this is my goal. Build this church so Brother John don't move. We'll have enough folks to go to Pamlico Beach and start a church. And then Pamlico Beach. And John and Judy can't move and get up here. I don't know why they don't. Just get flooded out again. So, you know, anyway. I guess we just got to pray for another hurricane to hit John. Knock some sense into him and get him up here. But why not a church in Greenville? Why not a church in Williamston? Why not a church in Pamlico Beach? Why not a church in Elizabeth City? What's wrong with that? That's my goal. That's where I want to get to. And Vance, yes, ma'am. Thank you. I didn't mean to short you, sister. What's wrong with Vanceboro? Nothing at all. Okay. Yes, that would be our goal, but we have to start where we are, church, and let others come. And I know it's harder for people who are not local. That's a handicap that we have. But there's things that you can do. You can pray. Yes.
But I pray all day. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, Brother Doug is on my mind. At 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, I'm praying. I'm
doing all that I need to do. Then that's what you must do. And as you can, what things we can do. Brother Woods, I'll help with this. And we'll grow, church. How many believe that?
Yes,
we got to do it. We'll grow. Did you have something, Judy?
Yeah.
All right, wonderful. Well, that's a first. We got folks in agreement. That's cool. Let's stand together.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Brother Hayden. I'm sorry, Brother Daniel.
I was just going to say.
Brother Hayden's your dad.
When I was up there with Brother David Lane, other people brought it up about consistency. I was amazed when he took us to the different neighborhoods and when we pulled in, how many people would just run up to the van and that new van. And he would call them by name, the kids would come up and talk to him. I think one thing that really helped the majority of their converts were people they wanted them to themselves before they wanted them to the Lord. And I would say like there were other people saying, one thing that helped is we go to an area, do it more than once, build a relationship with the people. And I think that would be one thing that helped. It was amazing the difference. Every we go knock on doors and they have like that organization, we go call them by name, talk to the kids, you know, greet them, find out the needs. And they really seem to open it up a lot to them. When you could see, hey, we were here last week, and just have to come stop by and see you again. I think that one that does help when you build a relationship with somebody, then it's just trying one time, you know, go again and again, it seems to help.
Mm-hmm. Brother Woods, keep the radio program going, too. That is going, and I'm meeting so many people that they say, where you go to church? They say, is that Woods fella?
Oh.
So I'll keep it going because it's doing something. I mean, it is stirring. It is stirring.
Yeah. And I think that's probably why it is today, is because we've been consistent with it. And it's been out there for several years.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. We have
that's why I like to pay someone on the radio because I'm here and somebody else might.
Give to that. I give to it regularly. Give to it, and it'll make it. The radio program has been worth it.
How much is it all week?
Pardon?
How much is it a week?
I want to say $85, sister. I don't see the bills that often. Brother Al could tell you better than I could. I think $85 a week. Yeah. But it's worth it.
It's worth it.
Absolutely, it's worth it.
My son listens to it every Sunday morning.
Praise the Lord.
He listens every Sunday
morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate those that give, and Brother Steve putting it on there. Sister Smith.
I just have something real quick. My parents took me to a lot of different churches. I could never find one they liked. I still can't. And I'm surprised if you saw one here. But something that I learned growing up is there's a lot of people who are very friendly when they hand you the visitor's card, and they're very friendly the first few times you come, but once you become a member of the church, they just change. They won't give you the time of day, they just don't care because now they got you on the roll, they're on to the next new visitor. And that's something that was different when we came here, and so everybody was just so open and honest, and they just never pretended that they were anybody but who they were. And that's something I don't think should change. I think it's very important, especially if you're being consistent going out and you're being consistent, you know, trying to get people in, to be consistent with who you are and not pretending, not putting on a facade to try to look better or try to be more relatable to people. But to just be honest, because if they find out that you put on a facade, they're used to that at all these other churches.
Amen. Amen. Very good. And I want to reiterate the point where Steve made. Look, folks, we want to reach out, but we're not interested in changing who or what we are, unless it's for the better.
Yeah.
But we're not interested in throwing out our hymn books, and we're not interested in worshiping the way we're worshiping or preaching what we're preaching, all right? That's not the kind of change we're interested in at all. That's most Steve's right, Miss Sister's right. That's not where we're going. That's not what we're doing. So, what we want is the Lord to add to us, to add to this church, and to grow us in Him. Amen. Let us stand together. Thank you for your participation. Keep praying. If you're interested in doing some of the things that's already been mentioned, we already have some young ladies that go to the nursing home. If you want to get involved in that, you can. But Brother Woods, I'd like to try the visitor card. I can send out a letter. Brother Woods, I'd like to be a part of knocking on doors. I want you to pray about it, and then come to me and let me know that. Brother Woods, I've never done it, but I'll give it a try. Or I've done it, I enjoy it, I want to be a part of that. That gives me to know who we have to work with so we can get things established and be committed to it. And Brother Woods, I'll take it and be committed. You got to be faithful to it. I don't want something where we do it and we get excited about it and it lasts 3 months. No. It has to go and go and go. It has to become a part of the fabric of this church and the habit of this church. So I'm praying. I know you're going to be praying. And we need an answer. Amen. We need the power of God to move. Because if the power of God's moving, that'll make the difference. If you ain't got that, I don't care what you do. You're going to fail at it. So priority is the Spirit of the Lord moving. Father, thank you for the people in this church. God, for their honesty, for their frankness here this afternoon. Thank you for those that have spoken, went to this conference. Lord, I thank you for that. For, Lord, the Hootons, Brother Mitchell, the Jacksons, and Lord, all of those that were present at that conference. Lord, the Laps, the Woods, Legates. And I thank you for that. I thank you for Brother Lamb and what you're doing there. But we're here. We're in Washington, Lord. We want to learn from one another, and we want to be able to reach our neighborhood. And you know our neighborhood better than anybody else, Lord. You know what we can do. And I want you to help us. I want you to speak to this church. You know what I prayed, Lord. You know what I've sought you for. I've asked you for workers, and I believe you're going to give them to us. And God, we've got men and women here, and I thank you for the men and women in this church, those that have been faithful, and I thank you for them. And I want you to grip this church with a fire and a passion, Lord, to reach out and touch lives and souls like never before. And God, you lead us. We don't want to just spin our wheels, Lord. We don't want to just do something and say we've done it. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. And we know, God, if you direct our steps, we'll leave the results to you. We'll leave the results to you, Lord. We'll just go and do what you said to do. And then, Lord, we know you'll take care of us. I want you to bless these men and women. I want you to lay it on someone's heart, God, to take care of those visitor cards. That's a present need, Lord. We had Christina here this morning. I don't know her. I thank you for those that talked to her, but I want you to touch her heart. God, bring her back. Touch others, Lord, in this church that are struggling. Heal Brother Doug, those that are struggling physically, whatever, God, their struggles may be. Help them, Lord, God, to get over, to deal with it so we can see a work done for you more, God, so we can reach out and not be torn within. And we're going to thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.